Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever gotten that line, no pain, no gain? When someone tries to tell you that you need to suffer more, maybe it's starting a regimen of exercise or doing something. You know, I think of that expression. I'm not sure that's always correct. In fact, I'm positive that's not always correct. Pain does not equal gain. Now, I will grant you, and I'll come back to this, that there are times when pain is necessary. But the equation of pain and gain seems to me is taking something completely out of context. Completely out of context and applying it on a general rule when it's specific. Yes, sometimes there is a little bit of pain. I will use exercise as an example of that. When you start, but any good person in physical therapy will tell you that if you do too much of it, you actually hurt yourself. And that pain is not good for you, you know? There are limits to this stuff. I'll give you an example. And most, some of you know, I'm learning to play guitar. You saw my efforts there a few weeks ago to fiddle with that. Well, when I started playing guitar, let's put it this way, the cat left the room. Now, I'm not saying the cat adores the music, but at least it doesn't run from the room when I pick up the guitar anymore. Because there were some painful moments to my ears and some painful moments to my hands. I've got a few calluses now, and wrenching your hand around that neck looks natural when you see a really nice musician. Just try it if you've never done it before without touching the other strings. And there were times when it'd be, oh God, am I ever going to get any sound out of this thing? I'm going to clang and bang, you know. But every now and then, it actually is a note. It's a chord. It's music. Now, it doesn't mean I can play the same thing tomorrow at this point. It kind of varies from day to day. But it makes it worthwhile. And in that sense, the pain has a gain to it. But it's that focus on the long-term goals from it, not the pain. The pain is not the gain. It just may be a necessary part of focusing on long-term as opposed to getting caught up and taking things out of context and apply them to the moment. Now, you may be thinking I'm avoiding the gospel. I'm not. I'm going right straight at it. Because I think that notion of how we use things, keep them in proportion, keeping that right perspective on things, are what our lessons are about for today. All of them, really. But especially our gospel lesson. And I'm just going to use two of these. There's a lot of stuff in there. You know, I think Jesus is trying to get our attention here. You know? He's using exaggeration. If you've ever seen good humor, particularly physical humor, you know, where the slapstick humor, it is exaggerated to get your attention to make a point. Well, Jesus is doing that here. I do not for a second really believe that Jesus wants you to cut your arm off or your leg off or pluck your eye out at the moment. And I think to do so is to take a great disgrace to the gospel and not really listen to it. But he's trying to say there, I think, is that there is a sense of perspective. That sometimes things happen. Short term, we don't like, but we have to put up with because the long-term gain is where we're headed. Our focus, our priorities are right. Jesus is not saying to you, I don't feel good today, I'm not suffering enough, I need to pluck my eye out. You read that, you're not reading the scripture. You're reading something you want to. And I have known people and have dealt with some people in some counseling situations that felt like they needed to suffer. And I'm trying to say to them, I don't think that that is God's will. I do not believe God wants us to suffer. Okay? Let's just get right off the bat. And if you ever have to bail me out of jail, and I hope you never do, it'll be because someone said something bad was God's will, or you know, that's just the way it is. You know, God had needed another angel in heaven. That kind of stuff. But we try to act like things like that are God's will. It's not. But in this life, sometimes things don't go according to God's will. That's the great thing that we have in Jesus. Jesus lived and suffered and died. Things didn't go great for him. It didn't mean that God liked the fact that his son suffered or that Jesus enjoyed suffering, but it meant the goal he was going after, the things he needed to do, were important enough that they mattered more than that. And I think that's what that means when it talks about those things in our gospel lesson for today. It's a reminder to us that it's real easy to get caught up in what we want, what the moment dictates, and things like that. Take the first lesson, the people of Israel. You ever read the book of Exodus? What a moaning, groaning group of people. I mean, they're never satisfied. They're complaining about slavery, God takes them out. Then they start complaining about the wilderness, God feeds them. They start complaining about the food. We're down the list here. They're complaining about the manna, you know. They're complaining about the fact that God fed them. It's not the food they ate in Egypt. They lost perspective. They got focused on the grumbling of their stomach, you might call it, or the goodness of things they liked, and forgot the fact that God was taking care of them. God had demonstrated it, and God would get them to where they were going. No, they were not getting filet mignon every day, but they were getting what they needed. As that great philosopher Mick Jagger once put it, we don't always get what we want, but we find out we get what we need. You know, there's truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. You know, and I think that's what's going on with Moses. Moses, he just starts grumbling and complaining. You notice that? He gets caught up in it too. And God finally says, okay, Moses, let's do this. And instead, he gathers 70 leaders. So he spreads all the burden that Moses has out. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been the leader, it's nice to have some support group with you, you know what I mean? It's nice not to be the only one. And Moses gets that, because when two of the people in the group aren't there, and someone comes to complain about it, Moses doesn't get upset. He realizes God's done him a favor. It may have been a blow to his ego, and I bet it was for Moses to realize God didn't need him, you know. God didn't need him to lead the people of Israel. He probably thought at that point a little bit like that, and I'm in charge. You get that in his brain. I'm in charge. God needs me. No. But he has enough sense to realize it. And that's what happens at the end of the gospel. Framing our lessons today is someone does a work, prophesies, does a miracle, and the disciples are like, hey, he's not one of us, you know, focusing on their own prides and egos and missing the fact that sometimes we have to be a little humble, put through a little bit, that it's okay if other people don't have a Lutheran on their car. They can still do God's will. That's one of the elements of this story that we need to hear, is that sometimes the pain and suffering we endure is self-inflicted or inflicted by others who've lost that sense of perspective, of recognizing that God's still at work, that the world and the universe doesn't depend on us, you know, and that God will work through and make things happen. We can be part of that, but our egos are not so big that we need to be all of it. And I hear that echoing through these passages. Because if you think about it, when Jesus is talking there about hell, and he does use that word, it's not a philosophical complex he's talking about. He's talking about literal a place in near Jerusalem called Gehenna. Now, Gehenna was a place that all the people of Jerusalem took their trash and their refuse and their sewage and dumped it. And the reason they dumped it in that place is that that was a place in ancient times that children had been sacrificed. This was so abominable to God and to the message of Israel that people would sacrifice their own children that land was a curse to them. And so that's where they stuck all their stuff. Now, you know how dumps are. They burn, they smell. Think of your images of hell and guess where they all come from. That literal image. But what Jesus is saying there is there's this place that is the opposite of God's will. You know, that was so bad that people thought somehow sacrificing children was pleasing to God. And he said, do you want to get that way in your own thinking, that you lose perspective about what God's doing? Do you want to be connected with being away from where God is, or do you want to be where God is? Because an understanding of hell and the Christian understanding is it's where God is not. It's where we run away from God and we don't want any part of God in our life. That becomes a hell. It's inflicted. It's not a gift from God or even a curse from God. It's what we do to ourselves. And I think this passage says that we need to keep our priorities and our focus is right. That suffering is not good in and of itself. Otherwise, I know some people that ought to be perfect because they've suffered a lot in this life. It doesn't work that way. Nor is suffering what God does to us. But sometimes we will suffer. Sometimes we do have to put aside our egos. Sometimes we have to get the bigger perspective that God is at work. And sometimes God may have to exaggerate and shake us up like Jesus does in this gospel. Now, to really make sense of all that, I want to go back to that word salt. Now, salt in our modern times is maybe something we throw on the green beans or the tomatoes if our blood pressure is allowed. But in ancient times, salt was a thing, baby. It was a magic elixir. If you think about it, salt is what they seasoned with. Salt is what they preserved with. And despite what we may think, it also had curative powers. The old expression, throwing salt in a wound, was not meant originally as a curse. Yeah, it hurts like that H-E-double-L does. But for them, it was a way of cauterizing, beginning the healing process in a wound when they didn't have all these modern drugs that we have. So the expression really means that, yes, you may suffer, but the intention is for healing. You notice that different perspective? Sometimes we like to inflict pain on others and ourselves out of some sorts of guilt or make ourselves feel important or whatever. The opposite of God, who, if there is healing, hurting, doesn't wish it upon us, but can use it for healing and for good things to happen. So, where does that leave us? Not with clear answers sometimes. It's hard to tell these things. No pain, no gain? Not necessarily. It depends. The pain, is it a pain caused by getting ourselves focused on the long term and where we need to be? Or is it a pain we inflict on ourselves and others out of our own egos and needs? That's really, I think, where it comes down to. When Jesus calls us to be salt to the earth, he calls us to recognize there may be times we don't get our way and our egos don't get what we want. But we are here to work for the good because we trust the God who made us wishes good for us and is at work for good even in the midst. The bad and evil, painful things in life. That is the promise. Not that they're going to disappear, not that bad things won't happen, but that God is not causing them to punish us, and God is going to see us through everything because his will is good for us. And even sometimes the painful things can lead to good. I'm hoping that strumming my guitar is eventually going to make better music. It's nice. I enjoy it. I'm getting a lot out of it. It's going to take a while, though. It ain't going to happen overnight. And so is life. No pain, no gain, not necessarily. But God's grace, yes, always. Amen.